This Sunday, we talked about Thanks 2020 for the reminder, and tonight we're looking at Thanks 2020 for making me choose. We talked a little bit this weekend about that this year has definitely had a lot of firsts with global quarantine, the wearing of the masks, and social distancing on a level that we've never experienced before, which has led to working from home, a lot less traveling for some, being intentional about sanitizing. I'm not sure what my skin's going to be like after this year with all the sanitizing I've done, but it's been a lot. And it really has introduced us to a lot of time of just being vulnerable with the unwanted change, with the thoughts of possibly getting sick and having to trust the governing bodies above us. And because we are all going through this together, it seems to me, and I could be wrong, but it's made us more vulnerable with even each other. Needing friendship and desiring friendship, to leaning on people we trust even more than we've ever have before, and wanting to have some sense of community. And I believe that there's a lot of people that are desperate for that right now. I want to address tonight the subject of being vulnerable and eventually share a conversation that Lori and I had years ago that had just such a great impact on me. I don't know if you guys know this, when we get on a scale, if you have a scale at home, scales have changed over the years. Back in the day, you just got on a scale and it kind of rocked, and finally we'd hit the number. Now we have these scales that have body weight, that can tell your body fat, that can measure the water that's in your body, your BMI. Yeah, it's all kinds of stuff. It's these new things. Well, it exposes us. It really is a time where we are vulnerable when we get on a scale. And Lori and I got married in October of 1988, and we were at a mall. We worked at the Sacramento Courthouse, and we worked really hard all week, and we just couldn't wait till Fridays to go get our paycheck and then go and eat something really quick and then go see a movie. Well, there was a mall there in Sacramento called the Sunrise Mall. And so we were just kind of walking through and enjoying some time before the movie started. And while Lori was in looking at some clothes in a store, I went to GNC. And I don't know if you guys remember back in the 80s, in the late 80s, GNC and all the kind of the vitamin shops, they would have these scales that would be out in the hallway of the mall, and you could go up and put a quarter in. And it really, honestly, was one of the first scales that would kind of tell you your BMI and all that kind of stuff. And so I thought, well, I'll see what it's like. So I put my quarter in or whatever it was, the 50 cents, and it showed my weight, and then it told me my BMI and all this other kind of stuff. And I thought, man, cool. You know, I can't wait for Lori to come out, and I'm going to get her on the scale and see what it's like. How many of you guys already know that that was just a really... That was already a bad move early in our marriage. So Lori comes out, and I go, hey, babe, come here, I want to show you something, you know. So I take her over to the scale, and I said, look what this thing does, you know, I just got on there, and it told me, I said, here, I'm going to put some money in, you can get on the scale. She goes, no. And I go, what do you mean no? And guys, we got into the biggest argument. I mean, like, flat out argument, our first big one of our marriage. And I mean, it almost ruined movie night, the whole thing. Well, literally just a few days later, we're at the doctor, and Lori had a doctor's appointment. I was going to wait out there, and at the last second, she goes, hey, would you come back with me? You know, I'd like you to be there when the doctor talks to me. I go, you sure? She says, yeah. So we walk in and we turn a curve, and guess what they had her do? She immediately got on the scale, and I'm standing there, and she gets on the scale, and she turns and looks at me, you know, smiling, and we both start laughing because we just had a knockdown drag out over this thing, and it's happening right there. But guys, the nurse was sitting there taking it down, and she's looking at us both because we're both laughing, like, what is so funny? But it was just, here it was. It was her chance to be vulnerable before me and trust me with standing on a scale. Is everybody with me? So according to Webster's Dictionary, vulnerable is defined as capable of being physically or emotionally wounded. The other words for vulnerable is helpless, defenseless, exposed, and susceptible. And it sounds a lot like 2020, what some of us have gone through. If you look carefully at those synonyms, you understand why we push back at allowing ourselves to be caught in vulnerable situations or a vulnerable state. Many believers actually have a problem with this word, saying being vulnerable to God. They don't like it. When we tell somebody we love them, we are opening the door to being very vulnerable because we're hoping that they're going to say the same thing back to us. Being exposed is scary. It rattles us and can be very disorienting because it opens the door that we usually keep shut. For someone to choose, everybody say choose. When you choose to be vulnerable, it requires a lot of courage. And Harvest, I do believe with all my heart that God is looking for men and women that will allow themselves to be vulnerable to His Spirit. Here's a couple of questions. Do you ever make yourself vulnerable to how God wants to love you? And have you ever found yourself in complete awe by the way God receives your love and how personal He treats it? Doesn't matter what state we're in, when we decide to love Him, when we're ready to receive His love, it's because He has always loved us. It's always going to be there. It's just us getting ready for that. No matter how we've acted, the things that we have said, the things that we have done, the lack of faith, not trusting, not consistently communicating with Him, even in the midst of a crazy year. God loves you. He loves every one of us in this room and every one of us who are watching tonight. Corrie ten Boom says this, "There is no pit that His love is not deeper still." Here's a thought. There is you being or choosing to be vulnerable to God, but there is also the danger of being vulnerable to the enemy and his ways. This year has made me choose. I've chosen in this year to be vulnerable with Christ. This year has made me choose to be okay with reality that there are things that I can't control. Can I get an amen for that? We can't control them. It's those times of the unknown, what is going to happen next, that we are most vulnerable to spiritual attacks or persuasions. Let's look at the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 7, and it says this, "Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down, where he in fact did push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. And once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in and on my weakness. And now I take limitations in stride, and with good cheer, these limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, oppositions, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become." That's the Message version. And the portion of that scripture I wanted us to kind of take a look at was where he says, "My strength comes into its own in your weakness." If you look at that same scripture in the Good News Translation, it says, "My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak." In our times of weakness, God gets to demonstrate his power in our lives. Amen? And what I want to make perfectly clear is the devil will move on any moment of weakness that we have. He stands ready any opportunity to tempt or to attack, to discourage or to confuse. He will take advantage of those moments. This is what we know about the devil, that the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy, from John 10:10. We know that he is the father of all lies. In John 8:44, it says, "The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies." Church, we have to get to a place where we understand that Satan is our adversary. We all have a spiritual enemy. And for any who don't believe that, their ability to identify when the enemy is influencing them, it will be non-existent. They won't be able to tell. There will be no light in their moments of darkness. In 2011, when our son decided to walk away from God, I've shared, and I'm not going to go into great detail on this, but I went into this dark time. Lori and I both. Lori handled it her way, and I handled it my way for that time. Lori recovered much faster than I did as far as just being able to turn it over to God quicker and kind of seeing some light in that. And I remember that at some point where I finally got myself into a place to where I was becoming vulnerable to God and beginning to allow him to speak life into me. And there was a word that was given to Lori first, but then it was something that resonated in my spirit that God spoke. And he said this, he said, "It's going to end well." Now, when you get a word like that, what happens is then you go into your human instincts of like, how, when? Is it going to be something horrible that has to happen for him to, or is it going to be something beautiful? You know, it's, you get into that kind of state. But what happened was Lori made a comment and she said this, we were just talking about this. And we came to understand that when my son chose to walk away from God, he was in a very vulnerable state. And when the devil came to him and began to speak his lies to him, my wife made this comment. He said he was vulnerable to the lie. The enemy will catch us when we are most vulnerable. He will lie to us. Satan will tempt with thoughts like, you are alone in your struggles, that power is found in money, in sex, and self-will. He will say that you are godlike. He will even try to attack your commitment to faith, and he say things like this. It says, just quit, or just quit while you're ahead. Satan will even say this, that there is an end to being blessed. We talked this Sunday about how the scriptures talks about that his mercies are new every morning. We talked about the blessings and how they just, it's like we sang a song, I think Sunday morning, that says, open wide, fling wide, you know, and just in opening it up and just letting God's blessing just come down. Let it just come down and rain upon us and take us over. At some point, some of us have to stand up and say, we have to choose, everybody say choose, to rebuke the lies of the enemy. Because he will say that you're alone. He will say that nobody cares. He will say you are sick, so stop believing that you're going to get healed. Or that you are sick, so stop believing for the impossible. He will say that things will never change. And he will also say that you don't need Christ. At some point, all of us stand to under these truths where it says that we are loved, that I am a friend of God, that I am justified and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The enemy not only moves in dark times, but he will shroud us in darkness if we allow it. The enemy not only moves in this, but what happens is that I understand that in a new way because of what I went through. I describe the 3 years after what happened with my son as a time of darkness, and I understand it in a way that I never knew in my lifetime. But when he wants to shroud us, it can be through unhealthy conversation. It can be on our computers, becoming addicted to pornography or being addicted to online shopping that we can't control or to online gambling that we cannot control, technology against us. He will attack us in our lifestyles. He'll attack us in trying to change our belief systems and things that we will bring into our marriage and relationships that normally we would not bring in there. He will shroud us in complete darkness. If you look at shroud and you look at the definition of that, it says it's something that envelops or covers so as to conceal from view. Now, let's check this one out. Used to completely wrap a body for burial. The devil literally wants to wrap us up for death. To steal, kill, and destroy. Where the next scripture even said that he was a murderer from the beginning. So how do we battle against dark times in our lives? And it's a simple answer, the light. Everybody say the light. John 1:4-5 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Praise the Lord. As believers, to be able to be empowered to penetrate through the darkness around us, that we have to let Christ to do his work in us, and we must be vulnerable to his instructions when he wants to give them. And moving, guys, moving in his Holy Spirit. Think about the encounters Christ had in scripture that we have read, where the woman at the well, or the rich young ruler, his disciples, or the Pharisees, all were deeply personal, all exposing, and all very challenging. Do we have the courage to give Christ access to our hearts and allow him to put the light there? To choose to allow Christ to do so? Will we take action and rebuke the enemy, or will we continue to live in denial? Here's some thoughts that we would usually say in denial, that it's not so bad. It's not my fault, it's hers. I can quit any time. I deserve this. Or just leave me alone. Denial, you guys, listen to this, is the enemy of you getting better, of you moving forward, and of you experiencing real change. God wants to help us move past this. God is the God of life. His promises are forever, and he cannot lie. Amen? He will say, you know, this is what comes from God, that you are irreplaceable, that you are full of potential, that you are being healed even now. Even now, God is healing your body, that you have purpose. And you can take that as a complete God-spoken truth. Give me an amen. Here's two thoughts coming out of this dealing with thanks 2020 for making me choose. Thanks for making me choose to fight the lies. Getting to a place to ask God to give you the ability to recognize when you are being lied to. Asking God to help you stand against any and all attacks of the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be on your guard and stay awake. Your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion sneaking around to find someone to attack. But you must resist the devil and stay strong in your faith." I've said this a couple of times just over the couple of weeks, but I want to say this again. It doesn't matter what our circumstances look like or what the devil might say. What matters is what does God have to say about your future? What is he saying? What is the word of God saying to you? What is he saying to you in your times of prayer? Like tonight, when we go to pray with the Lord, what is it that God is saying to us? That's what we focus on. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable," listen to this, "and trustworthy and faithful to his word." That's why, as in my life of going through faith, as walking through some of the seasons that I've had to walk through or endure, why it's become easier and easier to be able to trust God, because I know that he is reliable. I know that he is trustworthy. And that he is faithful. If we are going to choose, everybody say choose, to be vulnerable with God. What does that say to me? That if God is speaking to me and into my life, where he says that you can guarantee, let me just say it this way. If I'm choosing to be vulnerable with God, I can guarantee that as I choose to listen to him, as I choose not to listen to the devil, that the things that have been torn, you know, kind of just staying on me and circling around me and not letting me go, that as I lean on more on God, as I begin to trust him more, things that I can lean on that maybe my wife won't be able to do, something a counselor can't take care of, something that medicine can't take care of, things that money can't buy, but as I lean on God and I become more vulnerable with him, I start to begin to see freedom. I start to begin, as I talked on Sunday, release. Where I'm releasing things so that he can release things back to me. I say this, fight the enemy. Fight him. Don't let him take advantage of your moments of vulnerability. Push back. When somebody gets in your space and they're being aggressive, the first reaction is to push back, to create space. Push back the powers of darkness using God's word. Matthew 4:10, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written." So when I'm becoming vulnerable with the Lord, one of the great keys is just open up. What is God's word saying to you? If I'm going to stand on anything, I'm choosing to stand on his word. Choose to stand on God's word. So thanks 2020 for making me choose. Here's the second thought. I'm choosing to be vulnerable with Jesus. Ask God to point out the areas in your life that needs the most work. Oh, man, that's a tough one. Because how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? When you get to a place and you're willing and brave enough to sit down with God and go, okay, God, I want you to show me the areas in my life that needs work. That means, guys, we're about to go through a stretching that I'm not sure all of us are ready to go through. Because God will point them out, because he's faithful to do that. He's trustworthy. And he won't lie. So he's going to point it out. And what happens then, now we have to decide, when are we going to take care of that? How are we going to take care of this? How are we going to move? You know, I had a conversation with, believe this or not, I had a girl that called, she Facebooked me through Facebook Messenger. And she used to be a girl that used to go to the school when I coached. And my wife was a teacher. And she was trying to get a hold of Lori, and she couldn't get a hold of her. So she reached out to me. So I called her. And I said, Amanda, what's going on? And she says, well, you know, I'm writing a book, and I got my master's and all this other kind of stuff. She starts telling me about this book that she's going to start writing. Well, as we start talking, she begins to just kind of break because she's so excited. Guys, listen to what I'm saying here. She's so excited to be able to finally tell me just some of the good things that God was doing in her life after years of struggle. Some years of making bad decisions, some years of just having to kind of wade through the consequences of her decisions. But here she is beginning to tell me about how God has come in because she chose finally just to be vulnerable with God, just to turn it all over to him. And as I'm talking to her, and I just told her how proud I was of her, and she's talking about things that my wife had taught her and teaching her how to journal and write things down when God speaks. And that's what this is all about. That's what this whole thing is about, is that we get vulnerable with Christ so that we can get our stuff right, so that we can go out now and touch other lives, building the kingdom one person at a time. Give me an amen. So, but imagine that if we will ask God to help us work on the areas of our lives, or what is it that needs to have work? Guys, listen to this. Imagine what our lives would experience if we intentionally chose to do this. If we intentionally chose to have that conversation with God, how can I get better for you, God? The strongest people I know are the ones who have been completely broken by Jesus. Because out of their brokenness and vulnerability, they were repaired. They were made straight. They were rebuilt. They were fixed and made sober. And I'm not talking about just alcohol, being off of alcohol or drugs sober, just made sober in the presence of God. Just regular people being empowered through brokenness, experiencing God through being open and vulnerable. Ephesians 3:16 says this through 19, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul is pairing being vulnerable to the love of Christ and the stability he brings to the soul. He's describing this in a really great detail for us there. And guys, don't worry about the grammar that's about to come up here, but just catch what I'm trying to say. You are just not going to find anything better than Jesus. Okay? I'm not worried about how I wrote that. That's exactly what I want to say to you. You can look anywhere, you can pay all the money, you can go around the world searching, but you will not find anything better than Jesus. Fight the lies. Stop living in denial. Be vulnerable to his Spirit and to the love of Christ. Trust him above all things that might surround us or try to surround us. I would say even talk about this with your friends, with your spouse. Create an atmosphere that welcomes God's Spirit and speaks life. And when you feel dark, understand, listen to what I'm saying again. We talked about this. Who is our adversary? Satan, devil, demons, whatever you want to call. Listen, when you feel the dark, understand the source. It is not coming from God. Amen? Most importantly, choose. This is the last time. Everybody say choose. Most importantly, choose to talk to God. Remember, it's in Jesus' name we pray. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. 2020 has allowed me to feel like or identify with being like a jar of clay. Sometimes I get cracks in it, It is becoming more fragile as the days or seasons go by, but what's inside, thankfully, is eternal. We might drop the jar and experience times of being shattered, but the treasure in the jar, what God has given each and every one of us, never leaves. Broken, frail, cracked jars of clay allow God to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. That's really pretty cool, if I might say. Amen? That God could take me when I'm feeling cracked, and he might say, Matt, all right, you want to be vulnerable with me. This is what I want you to do. I want to be able just to smash this jar, and I want to put you back on the potter's wheel. I want to remold you into a vessel that can be used for me. Doesn't that sound good? That's where I want to be. I just want to be used for him. I want to fit perfectly into God's hand. Choose the things of God, I'm closing it up, and rebuke the things of the enemy. Thank you, 2020, for making me choose. Thank you for making me choose to be vulnerable with my God. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Just thank you for this time that we're going to be coming into just to be able to pray after this. But Lord, for every person online, every person in this room, I pray that we will choose to be vulnerable with you, to allow ourselves, to allow you to look inside and do what you want to do. Thank you, Father, in your holy and precious name. And the church said, amen. Good night, you guys.